The FAA says the Dreamliner test fleet is grounded TFN. An emergency AD is issued for certain Bell 212s. And a growing protest against full-body scanners is making news. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 17th, 2010. The FAA has told Boeing that flight testing in the 787 program is not to resume without authorization following last week's electrical fire aboard test aircraft number 2. FAA's Lynn Lunsford explained, quote, "The FAA does not plan to resume certification testing until we clearly understand the cause of the incident and identify any corrective actions that might be needed," unquote. Boeing said last week that the initial inspection appears to indicate that a power control panel in the aft electronics bay will need to be replaced. Boeing is inspecting the panel and surrounding area to determine if other repairs will be necessary. The FAA has issued an emergency airworthiness directive for Bell Model 212 helicopters, prompted by a recent accident that resulted in several fatalities. Investigators found a crack on the main rotor hub inboard strap fitting. Four additional fittings from the same manufacturing lot were inspected, and two of those were found to exhibit the same type of cracking. A cracked fitting could result in failure of the fitting, loss of a main rotor blade, and subsequent loss of control of the helicopter. A Bell Alert Service Bulletin dated Thursday specifies the immediate removal of certain serial-numbered fittings from service. The emergency AD requires, before further flight, removing each affected fitting and replacing it with an airworthy one. Find the serial numbers affected and other details in the text version of this story, dated November 16th, at aero-news.net. A confrontation between John Tyner of Oceanside, California, and the TSA, Saturday in San Diego, continued as a headline in general media yesterday, and Tyner's blog is getting lots of hits and comments as a result. According to a report in the San Diego Tribune, Tyner chose San Diego International as a departure point for a hunting trip to South Dakota, specifically because TSA's website identified it as an airport not yet equipped with invasive new AIT scanners. But when he got there, he saw the machines were there, so he picked a different line and activated the video recorder on his mobile phone. The video is vague, but the audio is very clear and captured the interaction with TSA as Tyner was pulled aside at random for enhanced screening. The 31-year-old graduate of a Christian secondary school refused both the revealing scan and the standard pat-down alternative. All was going well until the TSO described the pat-down, informed him of the option to do the pat-down in a private area, and Tyner responded with a chuckle, quote, "We can do that out here, but if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested," unquote. At that point, the situation escalated. The screener can be heard responding, quote, "Actually, we're going to have a supervisor here because of your statement," unquote. During a lengthy wait, the recording captures an ongoing discussion of the principles at issue, which, as one might expect, was wasted breath. The encounter ended with Tyner being asked to leave the airport, then being intercepted before he could, and being threatened with a civil suit. The recordings are instructive of what you might expect if you decide to stick up for the Fourth Amendment. On Monday, Michael J. Aguilar, who heads the TSA office in San Diego, held a press conference to confirm the agency will make an example of Tyner and has opened an investigation leading to civil penalties of $11,000 for leaving a screening area without permission after he was denied boarding. Tyner has received offers of free assistance from attorneys, and some of the posters on his blog have offered to donate to a legal defense fund. The case will be interesting if it gets to a courtroom, since Tyner's recording clearly documents not only permission, but an instruction to leave the airport. Once allowed to get dressed again, he asks, "Okay, where to?" A voice responds, "Home." The backlash to this latest act of security theater has produced, among other things, a darkly comedic parody of a children's book circulating on the internet, titled My First Cavity Search, Helping Your Child Understand Why He May Pose a Threat to National Security, unquote. A self-described pro-consumer grassroots effort calling itself We Won't Fly is attempting to organize mass X-ray scanner opt-outs at airports around the nation on November 24th, the day before Thanksgiving, a heavy travel day. The group hopes to highlight what it considers the health and privacy dangers of TSA's backscatter X-ray scanners. Boycott co-founder George Donnelly asserts, quote, Not only are these porno scanners a gross violation of individual privacy, they're also a threat to the health of millions of passengers and ineffective as well. The goal of the demonstrations is to urge Americans to exercise their legal right to opt out of the scan, unquote. The group urges travelers to boycott the airlines completely, if at all possible, and to opt out of the full body scans if you must fly. It also warns those opting out to be prepared for delays and intimate TSA pat-downs. Details and recommended instructions for opting out are available at www.wewontfly.com. Up next on ANN, the bizjet market is recovering, but it's still a buyer's market. Gulfstream announces an expansion in Savannah, and the Gamma Board chooses new committee leadership. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 17th. I'm Paul Platt. The International Bureau of Aviation sees positive trends in the bizjet sector, but says there's still a lot of previously owned inventory on the market. That puts a lot of leverage in the hands of those in the market for a business jet. IBA President Phil Seymour and head of consultancy Mark Wooler spoke at an industry conference in London last week. Wooler explained, quote, "The used aircraft inventory has fallen about 3% in the past 12 months, and aircraft operators are reporting a continued increase in revenue hours over the same period. But the sale of both new and used aircraft is still sluggish, with most manufacturers expecting similar overall deliveries to last year and low expectation of significant improvement before 2012. It would be fair to say it is still very much a buyer's market," unquote. Here is a vote of confidence in the future of the economy. Gulfstream will expand its Savannah facilities through a $500 million 7-year plan to meet future demand for business jet aircraft and support services. The growth is expected to add 1,000 additional employees to the 5,500 already working at Savannah, Georgia. Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo explained, quote, "We are already beginning to see the signs of a modest recovery. In the third quarter of 2010, we booked more orders than we had in any quarter since the downturn began in mid-2008. Furthermore, as flying hours have increased, Gulfstream service centers have enjoyed a significant increase in service volume," unquote. The new positions are expected to include production specialists, engineers, and support technicians. Gamma's board of directors has elected John Rosenvallen, president and CEO of Dassault Falcon and executive VP of civil aircraft for Dassault Aviation, as Gamma's chairman for 2011. He previously served as Gamma's vice chairman of the board and chairman of Gamma's security issues and communications committees. Caroline Daniels, CEO of Aircraft Technical Publishers, has been selected as Gamma's vice chairman. She'll continue to serve as chairman of the Safety Affairs and Training Committee. The board also named Hartzell Propeller President Joe Brown to head its Product Liability and Legal Issues Committee, and Jeppesen President and CEO Mark Van Tine to head the Security Issues Committee. CAV Aerospace Incorporated has also been voted in as Gamma's newest member company. CAV delivers TKS Weeping Wing ice protection systems to general aviation aircraft manufacturers and provides retrofit installations. Still ahead, an FAA official's badge is stolen from his car. Airbus inks a deal to sell 4 more A380s. And AOPA pulls off another clever surprise for a sweepstakes winner. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 17th. I'm Paul Platt. An FAA official's identification badge has reportedly been stolen from his car at Orlando International Airport. FAA spokesman Kathleen Bergen issued a statement, quote, "It would be difficult and unlikely that someone would be able to use the stolen badge to get in secured areas of the airport. I'm unaware of any specific protocol regarding places the badge can or cannot be kept, just that the employee is required to keep it secure," unquote. Fox News reports police are investigating the crime, but not the employee. They say it was not negligent for the official to leave the badge in his car. The badge has a photo of the employee, as well as a hologram to protect it against tampering. While the FAA is reportedly not treating the theft as a big deal, one security expert told Fox that a greater concern was how a federal ID could be used outside the airport. The A380's public image has taken a beating in the last few days, but Japan's Skymark Airlines has just signed a memo of understanding with Airbus for the purchase of four of the huge planes. The A380's takeoff and landing performance allows operation on the shorter 8,000-foot runways at Japan's Narita and Tokyo Haneda airports, carrying a full passenger and cargo payload to destinations in Europe, North America, and Australia. But it's not necessarily a vote of confidence in the Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engine. Skymark has delayed announcing cabin details and the engine choice until a later stage. And finally today, congratulations to New Hampshire flight instructor and 24-year AOPA member York Brown. He won the organization's annual sweepstakes grand prize of a new Remos GX Lightsport aircraft. In keeping with recent tradition, an elaborate ruse was set up to surprise the winner. Brown got a personal email from Jerry Gregoire, president of Redbird Flight Simulations, inviting him to the Lebanon Airport in New Hampshire on Friday, where he was led to believe he'd be participating in a research study on the impact of motion simulation on ab initio flight training. Brown took the bait and got to try Redbird's new Parrot technology that analyzes a student's actual speech in communicating with ATC and generates an appropriate voice reply. Only in this session, the simulator was programmed to say, quote, "Congratulations, York Brown. You are the winner of the 2010 AOPA sweepstakes Remos. Enjoy your beautiful new airplane," unquote. The announcement was repeated a second time, but this time it was AOPA President Craig Fuller's voice. Fuller then stepped into the room to shake Brown's hand. The actual sweepstakes prize plane was in California for AOPA Summit, so a borrowed Remos GX was waiting for Brown on the ramp. He took a brief flight with demo pilot John Rathmill and praised the GX's handling when he returned. Quote, "It flies like a dream. It's very light on the controls, not only to what you do, but what the air does, which makes it fun," unquote. AOPA awards extra sweepstakes tickets to members who commit to auto-renewal of their membership and says it was those extra chances to win that made the difference for Brown. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Joanne and Sandy Hill of Master Instructors LLC explain what role instructor accreditation might play in a new industry-wide push to improve the quality and safety of flight instruction. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.